Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
She tells him what she has done, and as a police officer, he's cuffing this guy to take him in. He asks the robber, he says, "Why did you just stand there?" And all the old lady did was yell a scripture at you. And he goes, "Scripture? She said she had an axe and 2 38s. That's what happened. So tonight we're continuing. This is lesson 4 of our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And if you haven't been here or missed one or two here or there, we always have the previous classes out in the foyer, and I believe there's some left. If you haven't gotten them, you could pick those up after the service. Let's open with Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So tonight we're going to look at the fourth in this fruit of the Spirit, and it's long-suffering. Now, we're not going to talk about suffering for a long time. It's not suffering for a long time, it's being long-suffering. And so we're going to look at some of the characteristics of the person who is long-suffering. And I'm just going to tell you right from the get-go, this is not one of the easiest things for us, to be long-suffering. I've always told you, if you ever see me at Walmart or the grocery store, and I'm getting, even if it's a self-checkout line, don't get behind me unless you want to just be there for a while, because it happens to me often. When I was out of town over the last several days in California preaching, and so I prepared this before I left. And the day that I was preparing this, I had to go to the store, and sure enough, I got stuck. And she was nice, but she could, you know, they had to get several. Oh no, it wasn't the store; it was at Cracker Barrel after Sunday morning service. And oh gosh, it was. I won't even. But just word to the wise. Unless you just want to spend some time fellowshipping, don't get behind me. And so, because that, being long-suffering, I've got room for improvement, and probably I am not the only one, which is why I'm teaching this class. But long-suffering doesn't really just have to do with the circumstances and events of our life. We're going to find that out. To understand what it is, the Bible gives us a definition by association. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love." So long suffering just doesn't relate to events or things that happen to us. It really deals mostly with people, bearing with one another. That literally means to put up with one another. That's why I said this is kind of going to be one of those things that's a bit challenging to us, putting up with each other. Just nod your head at me like you know what I'm talking about. And husbands or wives, don't do that. Paul, when he is writing this, he's writing from prison. And it's just amazing. The Apostle Paul was an incredible believer. His experience didn't make him bitter or resentful. In Philippians, he wrote the letter to the Philippian church. he talks about witnessing to the guards that are keeping him captive. And I think about that. You know, if it were some of us that had been held prisoner for doing nothing except being a believer and preaching, I wonder if we would be just real concerned about the people that are holding us captive. You know, I think some people might say something, if I be a man of God, may fire come out, you know, that kind of thing. So the Bible says we are to be long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And this really is not a popular concept, because people all the time say things like, well, I don't have to put up with that. I don't have to put up with that. Long-suffering means we're willing to put up with stuff from people we wouldn't normally put up with. And the church is a miracle that people get along as well as they do. Now, I use those words specifically because it's not that everybody always gets along all the time. There's never, if you come to church here, you will just, everybody is just always loving. They never will rub you wrong. Well, that's just not the way it is. But I will say this. If you look around just tonight, we are all different kinds of people from all different kind of backgrounds, and yet God has put us together as His church. And it's a miracle that we get along as well as we do. Just go ahead and nod your head again. There you go. A major part of Christianity is learning to get along with people. It is. We come into relationship with God, and then God brings us into relationship with each other. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Isn't that good? All patience, long-suffering with joy. Long-suffering is closely related to patience. They're kind of like first cousins. And a complete definition of long-suffering is bearing with, or in other words, to put up with, patience with long, enduring temper, slowness in avenging wrongs. And I'm just speaking from experience in my life, and I know in dealing, I have been pastoring since New Year's Eve marks 45 years of being in ministry. That's a long time. So I was like 7 when I first... So that's an old joke. But I have been involved in ministry. I've been a believer. I was only saved for 4 years when I went out to pastor my first church. God help them. And, you know, I understand that this is something that we're going to deal with, long-suffering. I want you to listen to that definition again. Bearing with, or to put up with, patience with long enduring temper, slowness in avenging wrongs. You know, in the day and hour that we live in, a lot of people respect the person who just doesn't put up with anything. You know, it's the, I don't get mad, I get even. You know, that saying. We have in the movies, and I know I'm going to date myself as far as the movies I'm talking about or the actors, but we have made legends of people who don't put up with anything, you know. It's like Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry, go ahead, make my day, that kind of thing. Charles Bronson, Death Wish, and Bruce Willis, Die Hard, Sylvester Stallone, Rambo, and all these these movies that made millions, if not collectively billions, are about people who didn't just get mad, they got even. And so, like all the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering is something that is beyond the natural. Biblical long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is beyond the natural. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not our natural reaction to put up with people, to have long, enduring temper, and to be slow to avenge wrong. We just don't come by that naturally. At least most of us don't. There's those rare individuals who just everything just seems to just go by. But by and large, most of us are not naturally long-suffering. And so it's not always, we don't come by it naturally, but after we get saved, God starts working that in our lives, and it's not always easy for us as believers to practice being long-suffering. Moses had a hard time with it. And I'm going to read Numbers 20, verse 7 through 12, but I want to give you a little bit of background. Moses had led Israel through the wilderness for years. They saw the miracles in Egypt. They were fed with manna. They drank water that came out of a rock. And now they're in Kadesh, and there's no water again. And so the people are murmuring. And God tells Moses to speak to the rock, and he hits it with his staff instead. And it was because he was frustrated with these people, lost his temper, and as a result of that, missed the promised land. God took him on home instead, which is really the problem. But anyway, Numbers 20, 7 through 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and I will yield its water, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels." Never mind, I'm not even going to go there. "Must we bring water out of for you out of this rock?" And then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. There's a lot of symbolism in this that I'm not going to get into just because of time, but he struck the rock. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And so Moses had a problem. Aaron had a problem with being long-suffering. Paul and Barnabas were apostles, and they had a hard time with long-suffering. Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 39. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. What had happened, they had gone on a mission trip before. John Mark had gotten weirded out and left and didn't go complete the mission trip with them. So Paul said, "I don't want this guy. He's a flake." And so, I'm paraphrasing. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. My point in this is that even mature believers wrestle with being long-suffering. Now, John Mark is the one who wrote the book of Mark, so we're all glad that Barnabas restored him, aren't we? And so, and even Paul recognizes him in his writings later in one of the letters that he writes. And so mature believers can wrestle with being long-suffering. Now, saying that, I'm not saying it's this is just to give us an excuse to just, you know, go crazy. Well, Moses and Paul, they just lost it on occasion. Why can't I? You know, so we got to grow, don't we? My point is, we are going to be challenged, and we need to grow and become more and more and allow the fruit of the Spirit to move more in our lives. And we're going to talk about that now, becoming long-suffering. I want you to say this out loud. I'm in the process of becoming. We are becoming more and more, and we're growing, and that fruit producing in our life through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at how to allow long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit to manifest more in our lives. First of all, we've got to learn to slow down. Tell yourself, slow down. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, listen, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. One of the things that indicates strength in our lives is when we are slow to anger. And a question that we could ask ourselves is, and you don't answer this out loud, how long does it take me to get mad? I have in my notes a question that I was going to ask, and that is, does anybody besides me ever get mad? But I decided not to ask that question. Yeah, don't raise your hand. Thomas Jefferson said these words, this is great. When angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, count to 100. We've all heard of people with a short fuse, right? We've known some people. Maybe we have been people that had a short fuse. Long-suffering means having a long fuse. And this has to do with ruling our spirit. And again, long-suffering is one of those things that we're going to have to allow to be produced that fruit in our lives. And so when someone has wronged us or offended us, something inside of us oftentimes wants to just lose control because, you know what, it kind of feels good. I don't have to put up with that. And so we just, you know. It doesn't take any strength for us to strike back, insult for insult. It does take strength to be long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit. So Matthew 5, 38 and 39, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. The Bible tells us, and we read earlier, this is the strength. The strength is being someone who is slow to anger. Slow to anger, better than the mighty. So real strength is being able to have rule over that part of our life that wants to get even. When everything in us cries out to just strike back or get even, we rule over our spirit, slow our anger down, and let it go. Tell yourself, let it go. Now, I know as I say that, you may be here, and there are offenses, there are wrongs, there are things that people have done, and I know against probably some here tonight that are unspeakable, horrible things and abuses. And so I don't want you, as we go through this, I do try to add humor in my classes and kind of make light of some things, but I don't want you to feel that I am not empathetic toward your pain if somebody has really wronged you. I was thinking in my life, there's really only a handful of people, maybe a handful and a half of people that have really, really injured and wronged me in my life. Truthfully, it's probably more like just a few that have, I mean, real. And that it took over my life, I've had to continue to release forgiveness, you know, speaking forgiveness and God bless them and that kind of thing. And this is not just feeling, it's spiritual. What we do, we respond in obedience to God by giving forgiveness, but it doesn't mean at the moment we may feel that. Those somebody said feelings often follow our faith, and that's really true. With that handful of people that I'm talking about tonight, I don't bear them ill will. I have released, I have forgiven, but there are times where my memory comes and I may still feel something. And so what I do in those times is I say, God, I forgive them. I release them into your hands. Bless them. Jesus said, bless those who curse you, right? And so that's strength but it takes a miracle, really, a miracle of God, the Holy Spirit moving in our life. And that's what Colossians 1:11, we read it earlier, but it says, listen, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Why do we need to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power? So we can be long suffering. You look at the wording there. This is classic, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying you're going to need the mighty and miraculous power of God to be long-suffering. And the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, helping us to be long-suffering. Practice it, to release that fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is an evidence of God's Spirit influencing our lives. And so, long-suffering isn't about suppressing rage, just pushing it down, suppressing it. We're not meant to just suppress. We're meant to release forgiveness and all that. So suppressing rage is just like, well, I will not kill. I will not mangle. I will not mutilate. I will not kill. I will not mangle. I will not speak again. And so we try to repress. But if we're going to be long-suffering, we, for one, have to slow anger down. And the only effective way for us to do that is by allowing the Holy Spirit to influence us and help us. It's not just suppressing rage, but allowing the Holy Spirit who lives in us to put the fire out. Just to say, I got it, or I'm getting it, or I'm trying to listen. Never mind. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, Now the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit brings freedom in our life, and one of the greatest freedoms that we will receive and experience is allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us in long suffering. And we're going to talk about forgiveness in just a moment. John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus is saying, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When we receive Christ, and he was talking to the disciples, this was before Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead. When we receive him into our lives, he comes to live inside us, the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. One of the names Jesus has given the Holy Spirit to describe his working in our lives is helper. Now tell yourself, I need a lot of help. Now tell the Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us with anger management. He will. Anger is a drug. The reason why a lot of people give in to anger is because of that temporary rush it gives. And the problem is with you know, a person who's constantly angry, you know what they are? They may not do drugs do illegal drugs. They may not get high, smoking pot and all that. But you know what? They're drug addicts because they have become addicted to their own adrenaline. When we get angry, we let that go. There's a rush of adrenaline, and we need to get set free from our addiction to adrenaline. Amen. Anger. We can make excuses for our anger. You know, well, you know, I've always been a hot-tempered person. It's just nature. Or, of course, I'm angry because they're idiots. How can I not be angry? They are an idiot. Or, what do you expect? I'm Irish. You know, we can make excuses. Listen, freedom will come when we stop making excuses for our anger and yield to the Holy Spirit's presence and prompting in our life. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit abides or lives in us forever. He never takes time off. He lives and abides in us forever. And when we're angry, He works in our conscience, dealing with us and prompting us, helping us to let it go. I just thought I'd give you an example of how the Holy Spirit speaks to me sometimes, and it goes something like this. Get over it. Yeah. I don't know that He uses those words exactly, but the emphasis is there, and I probably have heard those words, you know. Get over it. Get over your own bad self, you know. And there are times where God has really surprised me about my feelings toward other people, because I think of myself as I just love everybody. I'm just such a good guy. I just love everybody. But then every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will deal with me about my attitude about some people. And it can be a surprise to us. So we just need to allow Him to work in us. The Bible warns us about the works of the flesh. Look at Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and these are, somebody say wow. Now say it backwards, wow. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions are disunion or divisions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I've told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the works of the flesh are those things that come naturally to people. Many of the issues that Paul lists here in the works of the flesh, many of them have to do with anger. And anger comes naturally to people and easily. But we, as God's people, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes, lives in our life, we're called to a bigger life. We're called to a supernatural life. We are never meant. Listen, and let me remind you, because a lot of you have been believers for a long time, but we need to hear it again. We are called to a supernatural life where God works in us, helps us to overcome things in our life, and helps us to be bigger people, and helps us to be better, right? Okay, a life where we are not ruled by selfishness and anger, but controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 again says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As we yield to the Holy Spirit's influence in our life, we bear fruit like long-suffering. So we have to learn to slow down or be slow to anger. Then, if we're going to bear and continue to bear the fruit of long-suffering, we need to be quick to forgive. Colossians 3, verse 13, this is from the Message Bible. It says, be even-tempered. Let me just pause for a moment there. God is even-tempered. His temperament is perfect. And so as we become believers, He wants to work in us and help us to be more like Him. As He is, so were we in the world. That's what it says, Jesus. As He is, so are we. So His nature begins to work in us, and He helps us to become even-tempered. Say, help me, Jesus. Content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master has forgiven you. My notes, I punched my notes too hard and they freaked out. So I'm back. We are to be slow to anger and then quick to forgive. At the beginning of the class, we read Ephesians 4:2. I want to read it again. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And we talked about earlier, bearing with one another means to put up with one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And what this means is that we put up with each other. It means putting up with each other means that we forgive. Now, I was thinking about this. We have no problem putting up with somebody who never offends us, never does us anything wrong to hurt us, is just good to, you know, never causes us a problem. We put up with them pretty easily. You know why? Because they haven't done anything that we have to put up with. It's when they have done something and have injured us or offended us or whatever that we need to be quick to forgive. One of the great Christians of the past, she's gone on to be with the Lord. Her name, and some of you know her, read about her, or maybe even saw the movie, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom. She and her family were hiding Jews in their home in Holland during World War II from the Germans as they were taking the Jews and putting them in concentration camp. They ended up getting raided. Her family got taken to concentration camp. She and her sister were in one, her dad and brother, and most of her family died in concentration camps. They weren't Jewish, but they were in the same concentration camps, and most of them died in concentration camp. Her sister was with her in Ravensbrück concentration camp. There was a guard there that used to beat her sister, was abusive, horrible person to her. And after she went through it, made it through, and came out, and she became a real spokeswoman for God and about forgiveness and about the past and healing and all of that. She was in a meeting one time and she saw someone that she thought she recognized, and sure enough, he came to her after the service, and it was that one of those guards that used to beat her sister, used to be abusive to them, and he comes up to her and it was almost like nonchalant, like, oh, isn't it wonderful how Jesus forgives us of all of our sins? And this guy was wicked and evil, but he had gotten born again, and he, to her, it was kind of off-putting at first, because it seemed like it was just like, oh, I'm forgiven, I'm free, which we ought to feel that, right, when we get saved. But it kind of, it took her a moment. So, but he asked her, will you be willing to forgive me. And she's just within herself wrestling, struggling, but she puts out her hand and she brings forgiveness, shakes his hand, and something in her heart melted and broke through as she was willing. She said it was, her words were, she wouldn't, it was like wood. In other words, it was just an act of obedience at first, but then God broke through. And so this is something that we have to be willing just to allow the Holy Spirit to move in us, especially if the wrongs were horrendous and horrible. It isn't that we excuse those people or that we make excuse for what they have done or the abuses or any of that, but it is simply that we don't allow the devil to get access into our hearts and hold us in bondage by unforgiveness, because that really will hinder us, right? We don't have control over what other people do to us, but we can allow the Holy Spirit to move in us to release us. Instead of being vengeful and bitter, we can be long-suffering. So why is forgiveness such a big deal? Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, and we can only express it by forgiving others. Forgiveness is a big deal because it demonstrates we are becoming like God. As we are forgiving and release forgiveness, it shows that we are becoming and being like Jesus, Christian, Christ-like. Colossians 3, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now tell yourself, I must do. The fruit of the Spirit is no more evident in our lives than when we forgive. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, this is in the Living Bible, Jesus speaking from the cross, Father, forgive these people, for they don't know what they're doing. In Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60, Stephen, one of the disciples, is being killed for his faith. And it says, listen, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell on his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. What great last words. Because he was showing the character of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. One final little point here is we need to give it time. Long-suffering is tempered over time. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. There are some things in our life that we receive from God immediately. When we pray and ask Jesus to forgive us of all our sins, immediately we are forgiven every one of our sins in a moment of time. Isn't that a miracle? It is a miracle. It's the greatest miracle you and I will ever experience. And it came in a moment of time when we asked Jesus to forgive us. So salvation and forgiveness. Sometimes healing will come in a moment of time. Sometimes it's a period of time. We need to believe God, and we need to continue to believe God. But there are times, there are a lot of us here that we've been prayed for things that in a moment of time we were healed, got healed, released. There are some things in our lives we receive that are immediate. There are other things that become ours more and more through time and experience. And long-suffering is one of those things. This is one of those things we live out in our lives. And we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, helping us. Now ask the Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit. Joseph in the book of Genesis early in his life, he had dreams about how he was going to be ruling over his family, his brothers, and his parents. You know, he saw that there was going to be he was going to be exalted. You know, and all. So he got all excited about these dreams. He tells his brothers, "Ooh, man, I had a great dream." They didn't think it was so great. They had him, and so, you know, this was something God was going to do in his life, but he needed to be tempered over time. The Bible, and I think it's in the Psalms, it says that he was tested until steel got put in his soul. Or in other words, there was a strength that came over a process in Joseph's life. He didn't immediately come to that place of ruling until he had been through some experiences. And you read through Genesis, there's some, but God was with him, is what the Bible says. And in that time, God worked in his life. And when he came to the place where he was ready to rule, he was ready. And he demonstrated long suffering in dealing with his brothers who had sold him into slavery, wrecked his life for like 13 or more years, and yet he was long suffering. That was Old Testament. New Testament, in these days, he didn't have the Holy Spirit living in his heart. The Holy Spirit moved and influenced him, but he didn't live inside him because Jesus hadn't died and risen again. We have the Holy Spirit living in our heart. And long suffering is a testimony to the grace of God working in our lives. Amen. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to release long suffering, that we bear that fruit through allowing him to move in our life. He is a miracle worker. Amen. And so I'm going to pray with you tonight. We got a prayer and confession, but I as I was praying, I understand that there are some here you may be looking on, viewing online, and again, there may be things that have happened that were just almost unspeakable. And I don't want you to feel that me or that especially that God just says, it isn't that God just says, just get over it. No, the Holy Spirit moves in our life to bring healing and restoration. And that's the miracle of our lives as believers, is he does heal. He heals the brokenhearted. See, there are things that happen in our lives that break our hearts. And there are things that we see that have experienced breaks our hearts. You know what God does and Jesus does? He comes and helps us through the Holy Spirit by bringing healing to the brokenhearted. And so we're going to pray tonight. I want to pray with you. I want you to repeat this prayer with me, but I want to pray over us tonight and release the grace of God, Holy Spirit, moving in our hearts and lives. And I know this forgiveness, because I've been pastoring for a long time, it can be very difficult to make a decision. If you by faith will do it, you may not say, I don't know if I can do that. I by faith, if you will forgive, God will help. You just keep by faith, God, I forgive because you told me to, because you've forgiven me, I choose to forgive. That grace of God will begin to work. You say, well, I need it to stick. Well, you stick to it. Stick to it. Allow him. Keep forgiving. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Why don't you pray this with me? Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being long-suffering toward me. I ask for the fruit of your Spirit to grow and be manifested through my life. Thank you for helping me to put up with others. I believe that the Holy Spirit will help me to be slow to anger, quick to forgive, and to grow in the grace of long-suffering. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me just pray over us tonight, and you who are viewing possibly or listening online, Lord, tonight we thank you for the miracle of your forgiveness to us. And right now, Holy Spirit, we recognize that there are offenses and injuries and things that have caused deep, deep wounds and scars. And we just ask, releasing, Holy Spirit, of your grace right now to touch and to release and to give grace to forgive right now. Holy Spirit, I pray for a healing. Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bruised. Healing of those bruises, healing of that brokenness. Jesus, thank you for the miracle of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We receive him. We receive that healing tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let it be so, Lord. Amen. Let it be so. Praise God. God bless you guys. Next week, we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about being kind, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. Not just being nice. It's something miraculous. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.